You got 11 already? Okay, guys, let's begin. Okay. All right, let's begin. First, I want to mention a few auras, beginning of shir from what we had yesterday. That was a Baruch Hashem, I was able to find the sheet of the Rabbeinu Chananel quotes the Gaon, it's the Ri Som Fonton. The Ri Som Fonton. It's in the Mishnah in Olos Pirik Aleph Mishnah Beis in the Rash. The Rabbeinu Chananel found him Sochim at Yudalid Omer Aleph. That there is a Shita that says Cherev Harei Kuchalol, that the sword that kills a person has the same degree of tumor. We learned yesterday. The fellows of Mr. Sheeran, please listen to the tape on the computer. Okay, so you don't. But we learned a halacha yesterday that Cherev Harei Kuchalol means the degree of tumor of the sword touches the mace, so it absorbs the same degree of tumor as the mace. A mace is aviyavosa tumor, so the metal, the cherub, absorbs the same level of tumor. Xeris akosiv, the Gemara comments in Nazar and Nun Gimelam and Beis. Cherub harizu kecholo. Cholo is like the corpse. So I mentioned yesterday that I remember of Shevet Shlita pointed out a shita, which I never found, but Baruch Hashem was able to find yesterday. And that's the shita Rabbeinu Chananel, Sochem, quoted the Gaon, Yudal, Manalf, and the Rishon Fonton, quoting the Rash and the Mishnais and the Olos, Perakav, Mishnah Beis, that says that the whole halacha of cherev aru kachol is limited to a cherev that kills a human being. The cherev that kills a human being has the same degree of tumah as a mace. But you don't say it by any other metals, you don't say it by any other materials. And that sheet that Rabbeinu Tam says is absolutely wrong from Mishnayis. He proves from Mishnayis, Rabbeinu Tam, that that sheet has no standing. Okay? So he proves the Mishnayis very strongly that sheet has no standing, because the Mishnayis clearly are talking about situations of cherev haru kecholol, even when the cherev is not the thing that killed the person. So that's a very, very mechudas shita, but I want you to know that shita, okay?
So it could be any metal?
Could be any metal. We had a machlis yesterday. It could be what? Any metal. When some Rishonim say it could be any clothes, any material. Right. Yeah, any material. So we had a big machlis Rishonim. Is it limited only to metals, or does it apply to any other material like clothes? Okay? However, there is a shita which I want you to know. There have been a chanal b'shem legon and risom v'don. It's limited only to the sword that actually kills a person. So only a sword that kills a person do you say that halacha. And there have been a time says the shita is wrong, because in the Mishnayis and Olos it has cases where we say cherev kachala, and we're not dealing with what? Where we're not dealing with the sword that actually had killed someone. So that's the first horror I want you to get. Number two, yesterday we pointed out Akasha that the Ravid asked on the Rambam. We said that a Nazir cannot what? Cannot drink wine, cannot cut his hair, and cannot go to a cemetery in time to his mace. What happens if a Nazir touches a Kli that touched the mace? Does that cause him to shave? Does that cause him to break up his Naziris and Giluach? So the Rambam says it does not in Perek Zayin Lachachesuchus Naziris, and the Ravid in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Bias and Mikdash Lachachimel, argues. How does he argue? How does he argue? He says, the Rambam, you contradict yourself. Because what did the Rambam say? Are you allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash if you touch the Kli that touched the mace? Yes or no? What does the Rambam say? Chayav Karis. So if the Rambam says, if you touch a Kli and go into the Beis HaMikdash, Chayav Karis, so shouldn't that also force the Nazir to do Giluach? Shouldn't that interrupt the Naziris of the Nazir? That was the Kash that arrived at hand on the Rambam. So we said we wait till today to give the answer. So I want you to get this down. Kesef Mishnah says that klal and nazar on the involved base that called tumim in a mace shenazar megalech lav chayav lav bias amikdash. The Gemara equates any tumah that a nazar has to shave if he goes into the base amikdash b'chayav karis. They're always equal. What is that by? That klal makes that equivalence is only by what things that come out of the guy's body. Let's say dam. That's what the Kesef Mishnah writes. Only things that come out of the guy's body. But things that are what? Tumah through a sword, then lamaisa doesn't apply. And you can make a split. You could go into Beis HaMikdash, you can be Chayav Karis, but on the other hand, the Nazir will not have to what? The Nazir will not have to interrupt his Naziris and will not have to do Giluach. So I want you to get that. The Gemara that equates the two categories is only the things that come out of his body, like blood. Blood comes out of his body, let's say. From blood, things that are parched from his body. Shifa Zera, let's say. Blood. things of that sort, then there's an equation. If the Nazar's Megaleach on it, Lamaisa, then he goes in the Beis HaMikdash Yishchai, of course. But where we're dealing with things that what? That Tumah came from a Kli, then we make a split. What's the split? That the Nazar will not interrupt his Nazirus with shaving, but at the same time he goes to the Beis HaMikdash, he will be what? He will be Chayiv Karis. So please get that distinction. The Kesef Mishnah is Beferish right there in the Chazbiyas HaMikdash, Perek Gimel, Lacha Yigimel. He says that equation in the Nazar, in the Gemara Nazar, is only set on things that come out of his body. Things that come out of his body that would cause him to be Chayiv Karis if he went into the Beis HaMikdash, would cause him to interrupt his Nazirus to be Chayiv Megalech. But here you became tummy through a kli. It wasn't from his body, right? He became tummy from a kli that touched a mace. So in that case, we make a split. What's the split? If you go into the Beis HaMikdash with such tumor, you're chayav karis. If you're a nazir, it does not what? Does not interrupt your nazirus. You don't have to shave. Okay? So that's the second ha'ara I want you to get. Okay? Very good. Now, Lamaisa, let's see Vaita in the Gemara. Okay? We have to see Vaita in the Gemara. We have a lot to see B'zad Hashem. Okay, let's see Vaita in the Gemara. The Gemara on Beis and Beis. Let's see there. Adam, read the Gemara. Go ahead. Tanur Rabbanan. Let's see, guys. Five lines from the top of the Gemara. Go ahead. Tanur Rabbanan.
Tanur Rabbanan. Gimel Avos Nemru Bishor Hakaren Vashen Varega.
So the Gemara says, quotes a Brisa, that there are three Avos that are said about Shor. Meaning the word Shor in the Mishnah can be translated in three ways. Either it means Karen, causing damage with the horn of the animal, Shane eating, or Regal kicking. So the word shor in the Mishnah is three ovos. It's translated as three ovos. Now, go ahead, read the Taisus. Go ahead, what does Taisus say? Ahai. What did Rav Papa say right before the Tanur Rabbanan? What did Rav Papa say? That there are some told us like ovos, and there are some told us not like ovos. So you would have thought the Gemara would have what? Who wrote the Gemara? Ravina or Ravashi wrote the Gemara. You can never argue on the Gemara. Gemara says above and see a peheim and alf. Ravina or Ravashi so far raw. The Vilna Gaon points out in Simin Chafei and Chashin Mishpat, the Rama writes you can never argue on the Gemara. And the Vilna Gaon gives the marker that Ravina or Ravashi so far raw. They wrote the Gemara. Please get that down. It's not just a historical statement, it's a halachic statement. You can never argue on the Gemara. Ravina or Ravashi wrote the Gemara. It's in above and see a peheim and alf. So you would have thought the Ravina Rashi wrote the Gemara. Rav Papa said there are some told us like others. Some of them are not. You would have thought Rav Papa would have gone ahead and said that right now, right? But the Gemara interrupts with a Brisa. Why does it interrupt with a Brisa? That's what Tosfos is bothered by. So Tosfos gives a beautiful Terence. And Tosfos says, I'll tell you why. Because the truth of the matter is, we have to know first what are the avos of Shor. And then we can know what the told us are. And then we can discuss how are they similar, how are they dissimilar. And therefore, Lamaisa, it makes sense. But if you don't know what the Avos and Toldos are, what are you talking about? Rav Papa says some of them are what? Some of them are like the Avos, some of them are not, right? So you can't talk about that practically unless you know what the Avos are. That's why the Gemara interrupts and says, we're going to quote you a Brisa to introduce what the three Avos are, and then we'll get to the Toldos, and then we'll be able to go through how the Toldos are what dissimilar to the Avos. Can't do that till you know what the Avos are. That's what Tosfos points out. Read it again inside. That Tosfos Adam. Okay, go ahead. Tanur Rabbanan.
Tanur Rabbanan, Shlosh Avos.
Hifsik b'braisazu. The Gemara interrupts with this Brisa by saying Tanur Rabbanan. Yoshua, right? Yoshua, you got me? That's what it means, interrupts. Okay, we got to get every line. If the Gemara interrupts, you understand what Tosfos is bothered by?
Yep.
Why did the Gemara just elucidate what Rav Papa says? Why is it quarter Brisa in the middle? Because you can't start going through how the Toldos are not like the Avos when you don't know what the Avos are. So the word short division is defined three ways. Shane, Regal, Karen. Okay, I'm sorry, Adam. Go again. From the Dira Maskel. Tanur Rabbanan.
Tanur Rabbanan, Shlosha Avos. Hifsik b'braisa zu. Lefarish toldosei and lav tiyotze behind. Become Amar Rav Papa Ahai.
Right. What was Rav Papa talking about? What is he going on? Ahai mean what is he going on?
We can't.
You can't know what the toldos are dissimilar to the Avos, Natan, till you know what the Avos are, correct? Hifsik means the Gemara. Okay? Hifsik means the Gemara interrupted. Okay, very good, excellent. Okay, now I want you to get this. The Rashba points out, very beautiful horror. The Rashba points out, Shmuel later on in the Gemara, get this down, Donnie. Shmuel later on in the Gemara, we didn't get to it yet, defines the word shor as being what? As regal. How is Shmuel going to be able to fit with this Brisa? What did the Brisa say? Shor is three things. Karen, Shane, and Regal. But Shmuel later on says Shor is Regal. Shmuel, how could he square with the Brisa? Shmuel's an Amora. How would he be able to square with this Brisa? That's what the Rashba asks here. Diramasko Tonar Abanan. It's a great kasha. So he wants to say like this. He wants to say that the Brisa here, you have to say the Kavana, the Brisa is not the Shor in the Mishnah. What's it referring to? Shor in the Pusuk. Excellent, Yehuda. It's referring to Shor in the Pusuk in Chumash. So when it says Tonar Abanan, the Brisa is not commenting on Shor Bini in the Mishnah. What is it commenting on? It's commenting on Shor in the Chumash. Please get that down.
What's the kasha again?
The kasha is, Shmuel says that Shor is regal, Donnie. Later on in the Gemara, we didn't get to it. But if Shmuel holds that Shor is regal, the Gemara quotes a Bryce that says Shor means three things. Shane, regal, and Karen. Not just regal. Shmuel can't argue on a Bryce, he's an Amora. Right? We normally say an Amora cannot argue on a Tana. Right? Unless he's 100% certitude. Remember we said that? They had a Kabbalah, the Amoraim never argue on Tanai, Mishnah, or Brisa, unless they're 100% true, says the Ramban. If they're 100% certitude, they have 100% certainty that they feel they're right, then they can argue. Rav was the only Amora that can argue on a Tana with a Netiyas Hadas, with a certain intuition. All the Amoraim cannot argue on a Tana if they have an intuition. If they have 100% certitude, they can argue, says Rabbi Chanan. That's what Rabbi Chanan said. Rabbi Chanan asked Rabbi Chaim, Rav, Rabbi Yechanan, Halachik, Rabbi Yechanan. But how come Rav's the only Amora can argue on a Tana? Rav is the only Amora that can argue with a slight Netiyas Hadas. Netiyas Hadas means an intuition. Rav's the only Amora can argue with an intuition against a Tana. But if an Amora is 100% clear, he can argue even on a Tana. Either Gemara Oliver Schatz asks on Amorim from Mishnayos and Brises. The kasha is, oh, you can't have your intuition because you're against the Mishnah, you're against a Brisa. But if the Amora was 100% clear, Donnie, then he could what? Then he could argue even on a Tana. We got that?
Yep.
Very important. So Donnie, Shmuel defines Shor as regal. How can he say against the Brisa? Usually an Amora can't argue if he has an intuition against the Brisa. The answer is not referring to what Shor in the Mishnah. Shmuel's referring to Shor in the Mishnah. Shor in the Mishnah means regal. What's this Brisa David referring to? Shor in the what? In the Chumash. Excellent. Okay, also, I want to just point out, please get this. Why is it that the Brisa wrote Shane before regal? In the Pusuk, what's first? What's first in the Pusuk? Vishilich as biro, ubir bisteyacher. Which is first in the Pusuk? Regal's first. So why in this list is Shane listed first? It says Karen, Shane, and Regal. Why is Shane before Regal? If it's based on the Pusuk in Chumash Yoshua, what should have been first? Regal should have been before Shane. You follow me? Why is it reversed? Shane is before Regal. It's a very good kasha. So you know what the answer is, says the Rashba? That the Tana taught Derek Yedilasam. It's very interesting. Last time I looked at a Shor Bini, where's the horn? On the head. Where's the teeth? In the mouth. Where's the regal? On the feet. That's what the Tana was saying. From the head to the mouth to the legs. So that's what? Karen first. Shane second, Regal three. It's a beautiful Rashba. That's what the Rashba says. Okay? David, you got me? Okay, you got it, Clore. Very good. You see, when you go to the zoo, you can see the Brias of Hashem. Next time you go to the zoo, you can also, if you see a Shor, the Gebrois on Gimel, Bezim, and Bezim, Baba Kama, listed it that way. Because the Karen's on the top, and the Shane's in the mouth, and the Regal's on the bottom. Beautiful Rashba. So you can chaser over to Gemara Lamaisi when you go to the zoo. You know the Josh. Okay?
And why was the order? What's the order in the Pusik then? The order of the Pusik. What's the reason for that then?
The Pusik just says Lamaisi are more common things. Regular, they kick up more than Shane. That's what you have to say the Pusik. He doesn't deal with that, but that's what you have to say the Pshat was. Okay? So the answer today is that what Shor? Shmuel, when he said comments on Shor, is in the Mishnah. Amir, Shor in the Brice, and Furnish Shor in the Chumash. Why this order? This order is because that's the physical what presentation of what the Shor is. Okay? Because otherwise it's difficult. Why is Shane second, Regal third? It should have been flipped because Regal's before Shane in the Pusuk. Okay. You got that, Clore? Everyone got it? 100% clear, Yoshua. Get it down in your notes. You want a page? You got? Okay, let's go. You got everything clear. Okay? We got to get 100% crystal clear. In Shir, we try to get everything crystal clear. Torah Shabbat Pass to be Ba'er Heitev. That's what it said on Thursday in the Parsha, yesterday's Parsha. Last week's Parsha, Be'er Heitev. Hashem wants it on the rocks. It's clear as glass. The Torah Shabbat is a description of Hashem. It has to be clear as glass. Weiter now. Adam, let's go. You're doing a great job. Let's go. Yeah, fight in the Gemara. Let's go, guys. We got a lot to see. Go ahead.
Karen
Minolan. Let's go one at a time. What is the marker for Karen? Go ahead. Excellent. Where's Kiyigah found? Where's that pasuk? In Mishpatim, yes? Says Kiyigah. How do you know? The Brisa says. How do you know? Tan Rabbanan is a Brisa. How do you know that the word goring means with a horn? Tanarab, again, read it again. Karen Minolan,
the Tanarabanan, Kiyigah.
Oh, that's how the Brisa starts off. Kiyigah, quote a Pasukim Mishpatim. Go ahead. We're going to quote two Psukim in the Chumash, and the Tanakh, rather, that shows that the word goring means what, Yehuda? Goring means with what? A horn. Go ahead. Shenemar.
Shenemar, Vayas, Lo, Tzidkia, Ben Kanana, Karne, Barzel, Vayomer, Ko, Amar, Hashem.
The Gomer. What's the Gomer mean? And etc. Right? Like the Chulei. Now, what's the story in Navi? You want to become a Tamachim, you got to know Shas and Tanakh. The story is as follows. There was a very big Tzaddik king, Melech Yehuda, named Yehoshaphat. He was a Tzaddik. But there was a king of Yisrael, you know, there was a division. You know the division. You know the story. Let's go back a little bit of the story. Gemara in Shabbos and Hamad Aleph. The Gemara tells a story. I want you, you got to get everything. There was a story of this guy named Tziva. There was a guy named Tziva. So Tziva came over to David HaMelech when he was fleeing from Avshalom. You know, David HaMelech ran away from Avshalom for 6 months. Yushalmi says in Hurrius. He's running away from his son. He's a bad man, Avshalom. He's mean to his father. David HaMelech's running away for 6 months. This guy Tziva comes over and says, "Hey, David HaMelech, I want you to know something. Me Piboshes in Yerushalayim is trying to get ready to take over the throne. I mean, he's going to get rid of Avshalom. He's going to take over." So David HaMelech was very perplexed because he thought Me Piboshes was his chaver. Okay. He finds out later that Tziva lied. Me Piboshes was a good man. He was a chaver, though. He never intended on anything. However, they had taken away Mephibosheth's property from him. And David HaMelech later only gave half back. Only gave half of it back. Why? Because he had a lasting impression from a first impression that Mephibosheth couldn't trust him. Which was baloney. Which was bogus. Because Mephibosheth was a good guy. So the Gemara says in Shabbos and Hayim and Aleph that Hashem was upset with David HaMelech and said you should have given all the property back to Mephibosheth. You only gave back half. You shouldn't have trusted Tziva because Mephibosheth was a good guy. And he said, because you only gave back half the property, I'm going to split your kingdom in half. And thereby Melech Yehuda, and then later on was Melech Yisrael with all the kings. You got that? That's how the division in kingdom came about. Because Hashem was upset at David HaMelech that he only gave half the property back to Mephibosheth. Okay, going forward then we have the split, and you have Melech Yehuda was King Yehoshaphat, was a tzaddik. But Melech Yisrael was Achav, was a Rosh HaGomer. Who was his wife? Izebel, Jezebel. She was a witch, horrible woman. Mamish, a horrible woman.
She's worse than Achav.
Terrible. She was worse, yes, but Achav was bad too. So what happens? So Achav comes over to Yehoshaphat and says, you know what? I want to attack Aram. If we get together, we can beat Aram. Okay, so Yehoshaphat, being a tzaddik, says, you know what? I'm not comfortable doing it unless we consult the Navi. Okay. So Achav gathers 400 Nevi'im that are fakers, Nevi'i Abal. And one of them, the leader, was Sidkayahu. Sidkayah. How do you pronounce it correctly? Sidkiah here. And you know what Sidkiah did? He took this horn, literally a horn, that was detached from an ox, and he said, you see this horn? We're going to stab and destroy Aram to try to convince everyone. Okay, of course the guy was a faker. But that's what this pasuk is saying. This is what it has to do with our Gemara. That it's a Karen that's detached. So you see the word in the pasuk in Navi, when it says Tenagach es Aram, that we're going to gore Aram means what? With a horn. Because he lifted up a horn. Like a Meshuggah, Lamaisa. He wasn't a Meshuggah, he was a charismatic guy, but he was a faker. And that's why he was a Navi Sheker. Okay, I want you guys to know the whole story. That's how you learn up Gemara. It's not Stam. You learn up the background, okay? So the first pasuk, that's what the first pasuk, Yam Yoshua, to Nagach means a horn. So that's the first riot. Yeah, real quick, Yudah.
When Donnie and I were learning, it seemed to say that Rashi was saying that if this shore used the horn that wasn't Mechuber, then it would use it either by goring without.
Let's get there. We didn't get to it in the Gemara. We'll get to it in the Gemara. Okay, but I'm talking about the story in Navi.
So Rabbi, the story talks about Sinkia doing it with wanting to do it with his hands, not an ox taking.
Okay, but for our purposes, again, what are we trying to prove? That the word Nagach means horn. That's all. And in this story, that's what he did. We'll get to what you're saying later in the Gemara Mishnah. Okay, very good. But this is proving that the word Nagicha means carrot, because he's holding a horn. Okay, next pasuk. Go ahead, let's go, Adam. The Omer.
The Omer, before Shoro Hadarlo, Karnar Aim, Karnav, Behem Amim, Yinagach.
What's that pasuk referring to? Zosav Rachel regarding Yosef Atzadik. Anyone who descends Yosef Atzadik will be a melech. Yes? That's what it's referring to. But it says what? Again, Karnav Negicha, what? It says, what's Yinagach with horns? So you see that there are two psukim that what? That show that the word Negicha means Karen. So how many psukim in total are quoted in this brisa? Well, actually, there's two brises. The first brisa says what? It says, Karen Minolon. Yes, well said. In this brisa, the three psukim. Kiyigach is the first pasuk. And then there's two psukim that show that Nagach means horns. One from Navi, Malachim Aleph, and the other one is from where? The other one is from Zosav Bracha, correct. Okay, very good. Let's see now. Biter, says the Gemara. What does my Omer mean, guys? All in Shas, it always means the same thing. Gemara quotes two psukim, my Omer. Why do you need to quote a second pasuk? Okay? Why do you need a second pasuk? Very good. Go ahead. He what? What does Divrei Torah mean? From the Chumash, yes? Rashi and Chulin, Kuflam and Zion and Manav, Dirmasko Torahs, says Torahs Moshe is called Torah because it's given for all generations. The word Torah means for all generations. I want you to know that. Torah is Ladoros, it's eternity. Never will change the Torah. That's what the word Torah means. Please get that. Whereas Nevim is not called Torah, it's called Kabbalah. What's Kabbalah? Because the Navi had a Kabbalah Beruach HaKodesh for that time period and that generation. So it means what a Kabbalah that he had for that time. Chamishu Chum Sheitar, our eternity never will change. The Nevuah was what? Was for that time. You might say it has ramifications going weiter, but it's not labeled as Torah. It was a Kabbalah that the Navi got Beruach HaKodesh for that time. Go ahead. So if you tell me when Chitema, that what? Divrei what? That I cannot learn from what? I cannot learn from the Navi, from a Pasuk in Malachim, to tell me what Kiyigach means in Mishpatim, because Divrei Torah, Divrei Kabbalah, Yafinan, I can't learn it out. Go ahead. Therefore, I have a second Pasuk. Second Pasuk is from where? It's from the Chamishu Chumshe Torah. So it's good. Now, if you guys ask me in Seder, we'll get to it, not now, but why did the Gemara even have to quote the first Pasuk? I'll go right to the second Pasuk. It's a good kasha, we'll get to it later in Shir. Okay? It's a very excellent kasha. But Lamaisa, you could have it in your mind, why did the Gemara just go right to the second pasuk? What's the Gemara's answer, Adam? Because if you want to tell me the pasuk in Navi is not good, because it cannot help me on what? Help to translate a pasuk in Chumash Kiyigach, I have a second pasuk which is in the Chumash itself. Go ahead, the Gemara jumps on that. Go ahead. That's a melefu? What's melef mean? That's a derivation. That's a halacha. We're not learning a halacha with your chai or putter. When you're trying to learn out of halacha, that's a problem. You can't learn Divrei Kabbalah from Divrei Torah. You can't learn Divrei Torah from Divrei Kabbalah. When you're trying to learn out of halacha, whether you're chai or putter, forget about it. And I'm going to stress to you guys, a lot of places in Shas where the Gemara tries to learn out, bless you, the Gemara tries to learn out of halacha from Nach, and the Gemara says you can't learn out from Nach. So how do we learn out from Nach? It's really Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and this the Navi's Pasuk tells me where it is found. It's like an Asmachta. Many times in Shas, the Gemara will say, oh, aren't you learning a Halacha from Navi? You can't learn a Halacha from Nach. It's Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and we find an Asmachta in this Pasuk in Nach. Okay? Where's the Makor, Baba Kama, Beis and Beis? Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Torah Le'afina. You cannot learn it out. Cannot learn a Halacha. So the Gemara says, but now we're not learning out of halacha. What are we doing? Go ahead. Excellent. Did what? All we're trying to do is like a dictionary. We're trying to reveal a matter that the word negicha means a horn. That's all. What's wrong with that? Why can't a pasuk in Navi embellish a pasuk in Chumash to translate a word? That's fine. No problem. So that can't be what the Gemara says why you need two psukim. Cannot be. To tell me, oh, you need two psukim to tell me what the translation of what? Of negicha is. That can't be because that's fine. There's no problem in that. That's not a yiluf, like a derivation of halakha, like Dani said. It's not chayvapot, it's just a translation. Translations are fine. Elo, why do you need two psukim? What does Elo mean, guys? What does Elo always mean? Rather. It wipes out the pshat from before, and I'll tell you a new reason why you need two psukim. Elo, rather, go ahead. Ma'u de tema.
Elo, ma'u de tema, ki palagrafmana vein tam lemuad. Hani mile bitulusha.
Excellent. Ava what? So what's the Havamina? When the Torah distinguishes between Tam and Muad, when it says Yechasa Kaspo Dani, when it says that in the Pasuk the Rashi quotes, when do I think that is? That's only when it's a detached horn. When it's a detached horn, I would say. Ava v'chuberes. But when it's what? A horn that's attached to what? To the animal. I would think you're a Muad from the first damage. You're Chayv Nezek Sholin. Go ahead, Tashma.
Tashma, before sure of Hadar Lo, Begomer.
Meaning that Pusik tells me no. Please get that down. That there are no two tracks. There's only one track in Shore. Whether it's attached or whether it's detached. The first three times Tom, you pay what? Chatzin Nezik. Fourth time on, you pay Nezik Shalom. Please get that. The Hava mean is that there are two tracks. That there's a distinction Tom and Muad only by Tolish. But by Mechuberis, if it's a horn in the animal and the shore is goring, I would think you're Chayiv Nezek Sholim from the first damage. Kamashim Lan, it's not true. Kamashim Lan, it says, Beferish, that Pusik of Karnei Reim is talking about Negicha and is talking about Mechuber. So there is no difference between the two. If you just had the Pusik in Navi, you would think the Navi was talking about holding a detached horn. So when the animal, as Yehuda said before, look in Rashi there. Read the Rashi, Ella. Read that Rashi Ella, please, Adam. Ella, guys, look inside. Ella.
Ella, lahachi itzrich leomer.
You need the second pasuk. Demahu de tema.
Demahu de tema ki chalak rachmana.
Ki chilek.
Ki chilek rachmana bein tama lemuadas. De bishor tam tziv v'chatsu es kasvo.
Excellent. It says that in the pasuk in Mishpatim. Excellent. That you divide up, you only pay half. Go ahead. That's by a tam. Uba muad.
See,
uba muad ksiv.
Shalim yishalim. Shor tachas ashor. Mishalim nezek shalim.
Excellent. So that's the split between tam and muad. Chatzin nezek shalim. Go ahead.
Hanimile v'keren tulusha. Jumya dekarne tiktia ben kanana.
Beautiful. That's only when it's detached. And this is when Yehuda's Nakud is. Look inside, guys, Ukagon.
Ukagon she'achza ha'behema ha'keren bein shine v'nagcha.
Let's say at a nutty shore that's so wild and so crazy that it mamish has the ability to rip horns off other animals. And it did. So it's running around with in its mouth a horn of another animal. And it's stabbing people. So that's how Rashi says that the havamin of Tlusha was in association with the shore. See, in the story in Navi, it's a human being, Sidki is holding the horn. But if you associate it with the shore, it's where the shore has a horn in its mouth and it's stabbing people. So that's what Rashi says. Go ahead. Ukagon, read it in. Ukagon. Excellent. It's holding the horn between its teeth and a chorus. The Hassam.
The Hassam, Vada lo mishalim tam kule nezek mishum de ein darcha bekah.
Because it's so bizarre. How is the owner supposed to know that he's going to pick up a horn in its mouth and go stab people? That's such a bizarre thing. So we give a break to the owner, make him only pay how much? Chatzin nezek. Go ahead. Excellent. And the Baalim shouldn't have known about that. How are they going to protect that? I'll go ahead. Ava what?
Ava mechuberes de orchehu.
That it's the derech. Go ahead. Ema.
Ema kula muedesi. Afilu betchila.
What's betchila mean? Even from the first time, umishalem.
Umishalem nezek shalem.
Go ahead, Tashma.
Tashma, mekarne re'im ksiv ba negicha.
Alma, we see.
Alma, mechuberes nami kare negicha. Ubistam negicha, polygrafmana ben keren tama le keren muad.
Exactly. There's no two tracks. We divide up what? We divide, make a distinction tam and muad. both by detached, dining, and also attached. So at the Maskanas of Gemara, guys, let's summarize it. The Havim in the Gemara had what? That we distinguish the Tam and Mu'ud by a what? Detached. But by an attached one, there is no distinction. Tam and Mu'ud, B'chai, Mu'ud, Nezik, Shalim from the first time. That's the Havabita. What's the Maskana? No. Maskana is that there's no two tracks. First three times, whether it's attached or detached, what's the din? Katsi Nezik, fourth time on Nezik, Shalim. What was the Havamina of the Havamina that was slugged up? David, what was the original Havamina? Stam, just to teach us what? That I would have thought that what? Did Divrei Torah and Divrei Kabbalah Le'afina, that it cannot elaborate. That's why I need a second pasuk from the pasuk in Chumash. Right? And why did the Gemara jump on that? Why did the Gemara jump on that? Because why it's not Allah, it's Gilui Milsa. Because we cannot learn Allah on that time straight up from Navi. Yes? You got me? Okay. Now I want you guys to get this. Let's get this. Yehuda brought up a point that what's the example of a horn in detached? So what did Rashi say? The shore is holding a horn in its mouth and stabbing people. Interesting the way Rashi says that. Okay. However, I want you to get down. The Chazon Ish was a little bit bothered by that. The Chazon Ish in Baba Kama, Simon Aleph, Os Aleph says a little bit differently. He wants the Taina that we're talking about in this whole Gemara, Adam, Avos or Toldos. What are we talking about? Avos. Avos. Says what? Tan Rabbanan, Shlosha Avos, Nemru B'Shor. The beginning of the Gemara. So he says, I don't like Rashi's pshat so much, because that, he seems to say, would not necessarily what? Not be an av. Because the av, what is a horn? Where is a horn normally found? On top of its head. So the way Rashi gives a scenario, he's not comfortable with it. Why is he not comfortable with it? Because it doesn't seem to fit the bill of being an av. So he wants to say maybe, he says, I don't want to argue on Rashi, but he says, I want to give a different shot. And I want you to get it down. He says the following. You take a horn and you tie it on to what? You tie it on to its head. Lamaisa. You tie it on to its head and then it's going around going like this. So it was a horn that was not its own horn, that was ripped off another animal, and somehow you tie it on to the top of the ox's head and it's going on goring. Because it's in the same position as what's normally a cairn is found, and therefore that, he says, is a better shot, he believes, and that fits the bill of an av. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. Different than Rashi. I want you to get it.
Isn't
okay?
That your fault then fully if you tied it on?
Like, doesn't have to be you. Could have been someone else. Lamaisa. Could have been someone else. But the fact of the matter is that the shore was tied onto the top of the animal. Not that it's being held in the guy's mouth. That's what he wants to tie in, okay? Allah Lamaisa. Very, very interesting. Okay. Real quick, Yehuda.
I would think that a rationale should be the opposite of what we said. I think that if the horn was off of the animal and the animal goes over and picks it up and then goes over and starts goring people, the owner would have had enough time to notice that this ox had met it.
But we're talking about fitting the bill of an av. And
so
a Karen.
With regard to what we just said, I'm talking about which one would be more liable on the side of the owner.
I understand that, but the Gemara said by Talmud we make a distinction between what? Between Tom and Mu'ud. So the Gemara's Havamina was that by detached we distinguish between Tom and Mu'ud.
Right, but Rabbi, what I'm saying is I think that by detached
I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. Rashi is saying that if it's held in the mouth, you understand the distinction between Tam and Mu'ud if it's in its mouth. Chazon Ish is saying it was tied on top. So which one of the two are you saying fits better?
I'm not talking about either of those. I'm talking about before.
What do you mean before?
Which one?
Talish or Mechubar?
Talish or Mechubar.
Yeah, so what are you saying?
I would think that if it's Mechubar, then the Baal had no opportunity to see that this ox had previously...
Okay, we'll see. You're saying good. We'll see. That's why I gave it a Rashba. Okay, we'll see. Okay, good. Let's get to what you're saying good. But let's again, the Havamina of the Gemara is that there's a distinction between what? Distinction between Tam and Mu'ud that only is found by what? What's it only found by? Which one? Which one is it found by Tam and Mu'ud? Only by what? Tolish. But Bechubar, what's the din? There's no distinction. Mechubar, you would be a mu'ud from the very outset. Okay. So, Lamaisa, if you look in the Rashba, let's get this down. I gave you a small piece in the Rashba. Peso, you got me? What did the Rashba ask? He says, Pum Fakir. Exactly like you just said. He said the Mechubar should be what? Should be completely what? The Mechubar Lamaisa should always be a Tam. Should only pay Chatzi Nezik. He said, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said that when is Tam and Mu'ud? Only by what? Tolish. But Mechubar, you should always pay what? Yehuda. Mechubar, you should always pay Nezik Shalit. From the very first time. The Rashba says, why? What do you mean? Fakir. Mechubar should always be what? Chatzi Nezik. How's he going to know, Lamaisa? How's he going to know that the shore is going to damage with its horn? Donnie, you got me? That's the Rashba's kasha.
How can the Rashba say that after three times, obviously?
The Rashba's saying, Lamaisa, but Lamaisa, that's the way Hashem created an animal. And a shore has a horn like that. If a shore has a horn like that, David, then what? Then why should you think that what? That if it's Mechubar, you should be Chayav Nezek Shalim from the first time. Rashba says, no way. I would think that what? That's his normal structure of what an animal is. Maybe he's only Chayav Chatzi Nezek the whole time. It's a great kasha. Rashba says, Pum Fakir. So I want you to get this down. To this kasha, Lamaisa, we have a lot of answers. Yes. The kasha is Dani. What was the Havamina? The Havamina is the distinction between Tam and Mu'ad is only by what? When it's Tolish, when it's detached. First three times, Chatzi Nezek. Nezek Sholem after what? Fourth time on. But Mechubar, Nezek Sholem from the very first time. That was the Havamina. Now, Tan the Rashba says, what are you talking about? Like Yehuda says, if it's Mechubar, what's the din?
It should be Tam.
All the time, you should have to pay Chatzi Nezek. Even if it's 60 times, like Nathan asked me. I don't care how many times, that's the way the animal is built.
So then shouldn't it be obvious that the opposite way, that it should be...
The Rashba says, Lamaisa, he feels that the if it's in a normal way, meaning that the horn is on top of the animal's head, as opposed to it being in its mouth, or tied on, which is abnormal, right? Then if it's its normal way, then maybe you should only be Chayav Chatzi Nezek forever, maybe.
But then if it's normal, then
forever.
The owner should know that it's going to happen and he should do more.
No, but if it's normal, it's not out of the ordinary, the Rashi was assuming. If it's not out of the ordinary, maybe you should never be nailed for it. No, the Rashi says, the more normal it is, then the less you should be Chayav. That's what the Rashi was assuming. It's not crazy. Makes sense to me. David, go ahead.
How does the Rashi define the common book?
According to the Rashba, Tam and Mu'ud is only when it's what? When it's in the guy's mouth.
What's the general definition of
Tam and Mu'ud? Tam means three times, and then Mu'ud is the fourth. But that distinction that we only nail you Nezek Shalim on the fourth is only when it's in the mouth. But if it's on the guy's head normal, then maybe you never pay Nezek Shalim. Shem never expects the guy to pay Nezek Shalim. Never.
So Tam and Mu'ud is not just after the third or the fourth, also the
Christ. No, Tam and Mu'ud is... Oh, that Tam and Mu'ud means... Third as opposed to the fourth. That's only when it's Tolish. But when it's Mechubar, there is no such concept of Mu'ud. It's always Tam. That's what he's asking. That's what the Rashba was asking. You follow me? Because it's normal. Yes. By not Mu'ud, but by Mechubar. That's what he's asking. Correct. That's the Rashba's Kasha. Okay? Everyone, let's get... We got the Kasha. That's the Rashba's Kasha.
He says Tolish should be... Three times or right away should I
shalim? No, he's saying that that Mechubar should never pay shalim.
And
Tolish... No, the Gemara says that. Tam and Mu'ud is a distinction only by Tolish. But by Mu'ud, the Gemara says, I don't think it's Chayav Nezek shalim. He says, Fakir, should only be Chayav Chatzi Nezek. The Rashba's challenging what line of the Gemara? Then when it says Mechubar and Nezek shalim, he says Mechubar should be what? Chatzi Nezek. He's challenging that line of the Gemara. That's what the Rashba asks. Okay.
It's like if the shore goes, it's like if a person goes with his fist and he punched someone with his fist versus with a baseball bat, and the person just walking around with his fist.
Okay.
He always has his fist on it.
Okay.
So you never know when
all right, good. The shore is in its normal way. So you're Chayav Chatzi Nezek. That's the Kash Rashba. Yoshua, you got this? The Rashba's challenging the Havamina. What was the Havamina? That when it's Mechubar, what's the din? You should be chayav how much? Nezek Sholem from the first time. You follow me? When it's on the animal. Rashba says that's normal though. So you should be chayav only chatzin nezek forever. The distinction tam and muad should only be made by tolish, but by muad it should only be what chatzin nezek. Okay, I want you to get down the following answers. Let's go. Number one, the Rabbeinu Tam writes, it's quoted in Tosfos Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We didn't get up to it yet, but Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph says beferish. It's quoted in the name of Rabbeinu Tam. It's the third Tosfos on the Amud Gimel after Maskal Dumya. Rabbeinu Tam said they were dealing with the mitos. What are mitos? Yud Gimel mitos, hermeneutics, tools. Yud Gimel mitos, and whenever you have a meet in the Torah, Loshna Isser, Loshna Mamona, you always go Lachumra. Lachumra Makshinen. And therefore, we model Karen after all the other what? After all the other Avos Nezikin. The only time that you find a distinction between Tam and Muad is where? Within Karen. All the other Avos Nezikin, you always pay what, Donnie? Nezek Shalem. Whenever you find a distinction in Tam and Muad, it's only by Karen. But by all the Avos Nezikin, you always pay Nezek Shalem. So if you want to tell me that Muad, if you want to tell me that Mechuber would be Chayiv, either which one? Nezek Shalem all the time? Or Chatzin Nezek all the time? Where do you always go? L'chumra. Because in Yud Gimel Midos, we always go L'chumra. Because Savik D'Araisa, L'chumra.
What does that mean, Yud Gimel Midos?
This is learning out from all the other Avos. A Mematzinu. This is a Mematzinu. Where would I learn out? Where would I learn out? No, if I only had one pasuk in Matthew, I would learn it out only by what? Tolush. But Mechubra, I would learn out from the other Avos Nezikin, because I don't have another pasuk. Kamashuman, I have another pasuk. See, if you don't have the other pasuk, you learn it out from where? From a Mematzinu, from all the other Avos Nezikin. And all the other Avos Nezikin, what is that called, Donnie? What is that called? A midah. You're getting your notes in there, right? Yeah. What's that called? The mida? Yud Gimel Midos. We always go L'chumra. Savik D'Araisa L'chumra. Whenever there's a mida, whenever you use one of the Yud Gimel Midos, and you can either go L'kul or L'chumra, which way do you go? L'chumra.
What did you say whenever there's
a should you be Chayv Chatzin Nezek all the time, David? Or should you be Chayv Nezek Shalim all the time? Which one should you go? By Mechuber, as a Hava meeting. Should you be Chayv Chatzin Nezek all the time? Or should you be Chayv Nezek Shalim all the time? You know which way you go? You go L'chumra. Because we're dealing with a midah. Because I would learn this out from all the other Nezikim.
Whatever you have a distinction, Tam and Muad is what?
Tam and Muad is only found by what? Tam and Muad is only found by what? When it's tolish, when it's detached, Donnie. When it's detached, Lamaisa. Amir, you got me? When it's detached, you find the distinction. But when it's Mechubra, you don't find the distinction. So which way do you go, Donnie, when I say you don't find the distinction? Are you Chayv Nezek Shalim all the time? Or you Chayv Chatzin Nezek all the time? So what's the answer, Natan? It's a midah. So it's a midah, you always go to Chumrah, based on Rabbeinu Tam.
How do I know I'm going to learn that from something else?
What'd you say?
Where does it say that I'm going
to
learn that?
You have to. That's the whole assumption of the Gemara.
Isn't that the whole second pasuk, though?
No, but the Gemara's talking without the second pasuk, Matthew. So Tashma is the Kamash Milan.
We're talking about
this is all within the Havamina. Yeah. So it's all within the Havamina. How would I learn it out? I would learn out a Mematzinu from the Nezikin. When it's a Mematzinu, Adam, what is that? That's always L'chumra. You follow me? That's always L'chumra. Yes, Donnie?
If we only had the second pasuk, then we would only know about
L'chumra. We didn't talk about that yet. We didn't get up to it. The Gemara is saying if you only had the first pasuk.
I'm saying, but this Gemara, we end up learning it din by that first pasuk.
The Gemara says I would have a Havamina if I only had the first pasuk. What would the Havamina be? That the distinction of time and mood is only when it's detached. Right. But if it's what? Attached, what would be the din? The Gemara says, I would think you're Chayv Nezek Shalem. Yes? Always. From the first time. The Rashba challenges that and says, maybe you should be Chayv Chatzin Nezek all the time.
That's not taking away from the fact that we're learning a din from the first pasuk.
You're right, but it's all within a Havamin. We only have one pasuk. But I'm saying, where would I learn what? Where would I learn when it's attached from? A Mematzinu. A Mematzinu is a tool. If it's a tool, it's always L'chumra. To meet it.
Rashi, you can't learn a fear from a different Kabbalah, and that's what we're doing. That's the end thing Ryan's doing.
What'd you say?
We're learning it din.
No, we're not. That's what I'm answering you. No, we're not, Donnie. We're learning it from the Mematzinu. We're not learning it. That Pusik and Navi's only talk about what? Tolish. Mechubra, you're not learning from the Pusik and Navi. Where are you learning Mechubra from? From the Mematzinu. That's what I want to bring out. It's a Mematzinu between the lines of the Gemara.
How's it not a chid that you're learning Tolish out from it? You're learning out the chid of Tolish.
Yes, that's fine.
Why is that fine?
So you're saying, how can you do that, you mean?
Yeah, why is
that? How can you do that? Now, Donnie's asking a good question. How can you learn that halakha out, you mean? You're learning the halakha straight out. What's the, you're learning the halakha straight out from there,
no,
you mean?
No, it's not. It's,
so what's the answer to that?
It's not. It's not. Like, we have the puzzle on Kiyigach, and we're just finding...
It's just teaching what Kiyigach is. Yeah. That's correct.
But
Matthew's answering.
Kiyigach does differentiate between Tolshim.
I understand, but it is. Because Kiyigach at this point of the Havamit only means what? Detached and not attached. So Matthew's answer is correct. We're not learning directly from the Havamit. We're learning from Kiyigach. It just translates the word Kiyigach. When it's detached, then there's a difference.
But then once you have the Moscona that you know that they're different, then you're learning on a different...
Then you're learning... No, you're not. You're all touching Kiyigach.
Once you know that the Kiyigach is different.
You're always touching Kiyigach. Kiyigach always means horns. First three times, it means both. First three times, Chatzi. Fourth time, Nezik Shalom. You're always touching Kiyigach. It's a translation, Donnie. Not learning the halacha. Okay? All right. Yes, David.
Aren't there two subjects here? Whether it's a Tom and Gord, and then you have another subject, whether it's Chatzi or Shalom?
No, there's only one suffix here. The one suffix is what we do with something that's mechubar. What do you do with something that's mechubar? So what do the Gemara say in the Havamina? You're chayv nezik shalim, 100%. Rashi was challenging that and says you should be chayv chetzi all the time. Which one is it? Nezik shalim or chetzi? We know for sure that what you are chayv. The question is how much?
Right, but why am I chayv?
I'm chayiv because of a mematzinu from the other nezikin. No. That's what I'm saying. The distinction in muad and tam is only when it's what? Is only when it's detached. When it's attached, there is no distinction tam and muad. That's out the window. Tam and muad is only when it is detached. Okay? That's the hava meaning. Okay? All right. So what's the first answer to the Rosh Miskasha? What's the first answer we're given? That's a meeting. Okay, very good. Next answer. Please get it. We got to give the Rashba his own answers. He's the one who asked the Kasha, right? So the Rashba gives two answers. Number one, collector's item. B.H. Lomer to Adaraba. Bin Ezekin, Sveke Didu, Lahachmer Ki Yisurin. Let me ask you a question. We have a famous principle. What's the famous principle? Motzi Mechavero, Olav Laviraya. If I'm not sure whether to charge a guy $50, Evan, or $100, how much should we charge him? $50. That was the Rashba's kasha. Why do you make him pay Nezik Shalim like the Havamina of the Gemara? What's the answer? Because the Zekin is an Isser. And what's the famous din? Suffolk Mamona Lakula, Suffolk Isura Lechumra. That goes back to what we learned last week, the first day of Shir. Please get this down. That it's considered to be an Isser. The Chazam Sofer and the Birka Shmuel ask, why do you say Sveik L'chumra? Isn't Nezikin damages, which is gelt, which is money? Don't you always say Sveik L'mona L'kula? Motzim Mechavim Araya? What's the answer? The Chazam Sofer says, what was the marker of Nezikin? It's a siag for what? Nishmartim L'nafshosechem. Olo Osam and Aldam Reyecha. Meaning to say that what? We are machmer because there is a what? There's an Isser here. There's an Isser. The Maisa, there's not a suffix in the Maisa whether it was a damage or not. We want to know whether what? There's a suffix in the din, whether it's a what? Should you treat this as a tam or a mu'ud? That's a suffix yisur l'chumra. It's like Rav Baruch Bir said from Rav Chaim. What did Rav Baruch Bir say from Rav Chaim? Anytime there's a requirement to pay, it's a slam dunk raya that what? You did a what? It's an isser. Shem wouldn't make you pay unless you did something wrong. There's an isser here. Okay? It's a very clear raya, 100% raya. Let's say 100% raya. We won't say slam dunk raya, okay? We don't need to bring ball into it. It's a clear raya. Ironclad 100% raya. That what? What's the 100% ironclad raya? That it's an isser. You definitely got to pay, so it's obviously you did an isser. So it's an isser. What's the din? David, Suffolk Yisura L'chumra, make him pay 100% from the first time. That's the second answer. That's the Rashba. That's true. That's what we're saying. Usually that, but usually that's the case.
No, but you said it's not. We usually have that. We give him 50, if not 100, because it's a suffix.
That's not. I didn't do anything wrong. It's questions alone. When you talk about damages, where you did something wrong, you better bet your bottom dollar you did an isser. Well said, Matthew.
But that wouldn't read into.
Okay.
It's a knas if it's clean, right?
No, not kenas. Isser. Isser. That's what the Rashba says. I want you to get that first answer. Isser, not kenas. Okay? We built that up. Either like the Sam Sofer, it's a siyag, or it's what? It's coming from the fact Reb Chaim said, Reb Baruch Beer, that if you're paying, it must be you did an isser. And that's the chiddush of the Torah. The chiddush of the Torah is that what? You did an isser. So we should be machmir. So therefore you're chayav nezek shalim from the very, very beginning. Okay. What's the second answer of the Rashba? He makes a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer of the Rashba? Let's get it. He makes a beautiful kal v'chomer. He says there's no way on earth that mechuber should be more kal than talish. No way on earth. How much do you pay for talish? The first three times. How much do you pay for talish? Chatzi. Excellent. Fourth time, David? Nezik shalim. Mechuber has got to be is much more normal, and like a lot of guys said, Yehuda said the owner should have been on his toes. He should have been on his toes. There's no svar on earth that mechuber should be more kal than talish.
Yeah.
1 second, and therefore you make a kal v'chomer. If talish is chay of what chatzin nezik, then what? And that's so mishun and that's so strange. Lamai, so you didn't know. Maybe you thought the animal's chewing its bit. And that's why it has a horn in its mouth. I didn't know it's going to go ahead stabbing people. That's total bizarre. And therefore, I make him pay chatzinezek, but a regular shore, you know a shore is dangerous. It has horns on its head. You should have been on top of it. Therefore, if kol shekein, you should be chayav nezek what? Sholem. And that's the havamin of our Gemara. Again, guys, we're substantiating the havamin of our Gemara. That you're a chayav nezek sholem. Nezek sholem from the very first time. Even when it's mechuber to your head, to the shore's head. That's what the Rashba says. The Rashba makes a kol shekein. The Rashba says a kol shekein. That's not a klotz kasha, chas v'sholom.
His answer just basically says...
His answer is the premise in your kasha is wrong, Benny. That's what he's saying. The premise in your kasha is wrong. I could turn it around and say a normal shore is much more dangerous than the thing in its mouth. You should have been much more careful. In the kasha, you help him fuck here. If the animal's holding a what? Holding a horn in its mouth, it's more dangerous. You should have been on top of that. So the premise in the kasha changes in the answer. Okay, you follow me? It's not a klutz kasha, Benny. It's just the premise in the kasha changed in the answer. Yes, Jacob. Yes. Again, what did the Gemara say? The Gemara. What was the havamin in the Gemara? The havamin in the Gemara was the distinction tam and mu'ud is only by what? Jacob. Only by detached. But if it's attached, you're chayav nezek shalom the very first time. Would the Rashba challenge and say what? No way. You should be chayav nezek shalom from the first time. Maybe you're chayav nezek all the time. Because it's a crazy thing, lemaisa, when it's in its mouth. You should have been more careful. But when it's normal, maybe I don't think it's so bad. Maybe you're chayav nezek shalom. What is the answer? Is no, fuck cares. When it's in its mouth, that's really crazy. You didn't think it would damage. But when it's walking around normal, you should have been more on top of it. And therefore, you chayav kol shekein nezek shalom from the very first time. That's the third answer, Lamaisa. First from who? The Rabbeinu Tam. Two and three from the Rashba. Fourth answer now. Yes, Donnie, go ahead.
You just said that, just confirming that the distinction in time when it's only when it's talish?
Yes, that was the havamin. Well said. And the havamin was by, if it was attached, you chayav nezek shalom even from the first time. There is no distinction time and mood. See, when I say there's no distinction between Tam and Mu'ud, means you could go one of two directions. The no distinction between Tam and Mu'ud, what does Tam and Mu'ud mean? That first three times, Chatzin Ezek?
Yeah,
okay. Mu'ud Ezek Shalom. If there is no distinction, you could go one of two ways. You could say you're Chayiv Ezek Shalom all the time from the first time. The other way is to say you're Chayiv Chatzin Ezek all the time from the first time. So what the Gemara said, you're Chayiv Ezek Shalom from the first time. What we want to determine is how the Gemara got there. Yes, Matthew.
Let's say I go out to work and I own a shore and then come back and this guy's on my shore, he's like, your shore damaged me. Am I only chayav when I watched it happen? Or even if I don't have it, it's my property.
You got to prove it. You got to prove it.
So I'm saying, let's say the guy can prove it, but yeah. I'm not chayav. I could also be chayav when it didn't happen on my watch, right?
Yeah, of course. As long as you didn't, as long as you weren't negligent and let it get out of the fence. As long as you weren't negligent, unless it wasn't negligent and you let the thing get out. Okay? Unless it wasn't negligent, you let the thing get out. Okay? That's what I mean, showing. She's a violent. Okay? You follow me?
So if, let's say I have oxen grazing.
Yes.
And I go to work, and then my ox, damages someone when I'm not there.
So it depends. Did you leave it secure or not secure? If you were,
let's say it's proven that I was negligent and whatnot, I can still be chayav.
Yeah, of course.
It's not that I watch it out.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay. You were negligent in the watching. Yes, David, real quick.
Basically,
Vinny. Yeah, go ahead, David.
There's
yeah.
No common board by which mind are you going by that we're paying back because masters.
Well, that we'll get to when we get to Tysus. I don't know if we're going to get to Tysus today. Okay. So we'll probably get to it tomorrow. Okay, that's what Tysus brings up. Very good. Okay, let's get to this now. Fourth answer now. I photocopied the Brisker Rav for you. Okay? Evan, you with me?
Yeah.
The Brisker Rav says like this, okay? The Brisker Rav has a fourth answer on his own to answer Tysus Kasha. I want you guys to get this, okay? The Brisker Rav is the Grizz, the Rav's uncle on the Rambam. And normally the Pshatim that he says are on the Rambam. But here this Parish is on the Gemara. Okay, I photocopied it for you. It's on the second page. It's on the second page. The bottom. Second page on the bottom where it says Lefizeh. Going from the second page to the third page, it gives the answer. Let's say the answer outside. I want you to get it. Okay? It's a very beautiful Brisker Rav. He says like this. He says, I want to answer Tosfos Kasha based on the Rosh in Baba Kama on Vav Amud Beis. The Rosh in Baba Kama on Vav Amud Beis writes as follows. Please get this. We had this case. Vinny, get it down. If you have a stone or a knife, Avna Vasakinu, that fall off a roof with a common wind, and it damages. After it fell on Rosh Hashanah, it damaged. You're chayav to pay. And the Gemara says the reason why you have to pay, Nathan, is because it's a combination of a mehatzad. It's a combination of a mehatzad from bor and esh together.
What's the case?
Again, the knife or stone fell off the roof. The wind blew it off, fell to the ground, and then someone was damaged after it rested on the ground. And the Gemara says you're chayav to pay based on a tzad hashava, a combination of bor and esh together. You're chayav based on a combination of bor and esh together. Okay? Now, it's interesting, says the Rosh, in the name of the Yesh Omrim. What is a patur that you have unique only to Aish? We mentioned it. What's a patur unique only to Aish? Tamun, if it was hidden. Remember the fruits and vegetables, if it was hidden? Your potter from Aish? What is a patur agave bor? Kalim. If kalim vessels get damaged in a bor, your potter from paying if you built the bor. Now, if you learn from Me'atzad, a combination of Aish and bor, you would have thought that what? If it's a combination of both Aish and Bor, what's the din? What's the din if it's a combination of both Aish and Bor? That you have to take in the exemptions of Aish and also the exemptions of what? Of Bor. Comes along the Rosh and says the following. I want you to know something. Even though the knife and stone that fell off the roof were what? Blown off the roof and are resting on the ground, is it more similar to Aish or is it more similar to Bor? No, the Rosh says bor because it's stationary. It's not moving. It did have an element H because it was blown off and got there. But the bottom line is it's more similar to bor. So get this down, please. Matthew. The Rosh says that since it's more similar to bor, if you damaged Kalim in that case, then you would be what? Would you be chayv or putter? You'd be putter. And if it would be hidden articles, you would be what? Chayiv, because you zap it more to be bor than esh. Again, Yoshua, get this down. The Gemara says on Davov, you have items that were blown off the roof, a stone and knife, and they blow down from the roof to Rosh Hashanah, and they remain stationary there. And then someone has some goods that get damaged. So the reason why you're chayiv, it's a combination of bor and esh. But the Rosh says the bottom line, it's more similar to bor. Therefore, you zap into bor. So if it's kalim, you're putter. But if it's tumen, you'd be chayav, because tumen's only a patur by esh. Meaning to say, says the Brisker Rav, that tumen is exerzes kasev by esh, and here it's more similar to bor, so you don't have to exerzes kasev. Here it's more similar to bor, and therefore, halach lamaisa, we call it esh, because koach achamurav bo. But you don't learn the patur of tumen. Because the bottom line is that's a patur only by esh. And here it's more similar to bor, so you zap it under the category of bor.
Why even bring up Aish?
Because it blew off. We're using this Brisker Rav, Matthew, to give a fourth answer to the Tosfos Kasha. You got me? Okay, the Rashba's kasha. This brisker off. So therefore it's similar to what? At the end of the day, what's it similar to?
Bor.
Because it's stationary. But why is it also called a tzad hashava of Eish? Because how did it get there? The wind blew it off the roof.
In our case.
But the Briskarov says, I want you to get this, to formalize Nezikin, you got to plug into the categories. Avos Nezikin are formal categories. Evan, you must always plug into a category. And in the case of Avdav Sakinu Shenaflu Me'agag, you're plugging into Bor, he says. Therefore, you'll have the exemption of Kalin. If Kalin were destroyed, you'll be putting you to get this down. But you will not have the exemption of what? Of Tamun. Because it's more similar to Bor than H, David. You follow me? That's what the Briskarov says. Based on this, says the Briskarov, get this down, Yehuda. Based on this principle, says the Briskarov, I can answer up the Kasha. I can answer up the Kasha, Lamaisa, of Tysus and the Rashba. I can answer it up very strongly. How do I answer it up? How would I be able to answer this up, this Kasha? Because of the following. Because Tysus Kasha is what? Tysus Kasha is, before we say the Tysus answer is, read the Tysus Adam. Read the first half of the Tysus. Guys, look inside. Avam Kuberis. Avam Kuberis, Ema Kula
Moeresi.
To pay Nezek Shalim like Rashi and Basil the first time. Vim Tomar. What's Mehe Tesi? Why would I have a Havim and you pay Nezek Shalim? From where would I learn it? Go ahead. E what? If I learn it out from Telusha where it's detached, then what's the din?
Daya
Kitelusha. Let it be like two Telusha. You should pay Chatzin Nezek then. So therefore, that's not a good way to learn it out. How would I learn out a Havamina that Mechuber pays Nezek Shalim for the very first time? If I learn it out from Telusha, Telusha is only Chatzin Nezek. Go ahead. So it can't be from Telusha. Go ahead now, period. E what?
E Mishar Avos, Hatenaf Lamanda Amar Karen, Adifa, the Kabanasu Lahazi. Vafil Karen Azi.
I can learn out from Karen. From Karen, what is Kabana Lahazik? Go ahead and Kimafarish.
Ukudimafarish, Rabbeinu Tam Lakaman. Dehainu Lamanda Amar, Palga, Nizka, Mamona, Islay Stam, Shorin, Lav, Bethesda, Shibor.
Kindly. Now, guys, turn to Daf Tet Vavam and Aleph. Turn to Daf Tet Vavam and Aleph. Take a look at Tet Vavam and Aleph. The Gemara presents a Machlokes Amaroi. Read the Gemara there at Itmar, where it says Itmar. Okay, you see by the two dots? Tet Vavam and Aleph. Itmar, read that Gemara there. Tet Vavam and Aleph. Itmar. Everyone got it there? By the two dots, where it says Itmar. Go ahead.
Itmar, Palga Nazka.
Palga Nizka, Chatzin Nezek. What is its nature? Go ahead.
Rav Papa Amar, Mamona.
Ravuna, Breder Yeshua Amar?
Breder Yeshua
Amar, Kansa. Is it Mamon or is it Knasa penalty? Plug it in. Rav Papa Amar, Mamona. Kaiman, you guys got to know this. Stam oxen are not tame. They're nuts. So the owner should have known that. Ubedin? You really should have to pay 100%. Verachmana and Hashem? Hashem is merciful, and he says it's still not a muad yet. Ayad muad ture ox. So if you hold that oxen are wild, you should have been on your toes. So you should have been Chayav Nezek Shalim from the first damage. But Hashem was merciful. He gave you a break. For the first three times, he said Chatzin Nezek. By the fourth, Chayav Nezek Shalim. But that's from the perspective that it's Mamon. So what does that mean, Mamon? Adam, you really should have to pay what? You should have to pay Nezek Shalim. Go the other way now. Ravuna.
Ravuna, Bered Rav Yoshua Amar.
Chatzin Nezek is a knas. Go ahead, Kasavar.
Kasavar, stop shroying Bethesda's Shimor Kaimi.
Oxen are what normally tame. Ubedin.
Ubedin, Udalola Shalim Kla.
You shouldn't have to pay a penny. Go ahead.
Rahmana Udikanse.
Kihechi.
Kihechi to Linitre Litore.
Excellent. And the Torah finds you in order to get you to guard the shore better. So if you hold knas, what does that mean? You shouldn't have to what? You shouldn't have to pay it all the first three times, but the Torah motivates you to pay half the first three times to get you to be ready to what? To encourage you, to motivate you to guard better. Now, I heard from our Rebbe, get this down, Rabban Soloveitch and Katzal. You never can have a machlekes in Metzias. What do you mean? It's a machlekes whether oxen are tame or not? That's crazy. Go ask a zoologist. The Gemara never has machlekes in Metzias. So I want you to get this. You go ask the zoologist, he'll tell you 50% of the oxen in the world are tame. Is that enough to deem them all tame?
No.
Or do you need 51%? Meaning you have to lump the size the Metzias. It's a machlekes how to interpret the results. So is 50% enough to label all them tame, Yoshua, or do you need 51%? You follow me? You can never have a machlekes in Metzias. Otherwise, you could just go ask a zoologist. So the interpretation is that they're 50% are tame. Is that enough to deem them all tame? One sheet just says yes, yes. The other sheet just says no, it cannot. You got that? So that's from the perspective of what? Of whether Chatzin Nezik is Mamon or Chatzin Nezik is what? Is a Knas. So go back to our Tosfos now. Guys, go back to our Tosfos. Go ahead, Adam. Let's go. Vim Tomar, again, from Vim Tomar. Guys, look inside. Okay? It's getting late. Go ahead, Vim Tomar.
Tomar, Mihai Tesi, Imi Telusha, Daye, Telusha.
If you learn out from Telusha, then I would be what? At least Chayv only Chatzin Nezik. But our Havamina was a Chayv Nezik Sholin by Mechub. Go. So it can't be from Telusha, period. Imi what?
Imi Shar Avos, Hatena Achlamanda Amar, Karen Adifa, Bekabanasa Lahazi. Bafilu Karen, Asi Kadifa.
So you see, if you see oxen are crazy, they're not tame, you can understand a Havamina that if it's Mechubar, you're Chayav Nezik Sholin. So the Havamina of our Gemara is according to the Ma'aseh holds what? Niske what? Niske Mamon. Chatzin Nezik is Mamon. Ava what?
Avalamanda Amar Palga Niska Knasa Isla Stam Shwarim Bethesda Shimor Kaimi.
That oxen are tame. Go ahead.
Lo Asya Karen Mikulu Kudamrin on the Kaman.
There's no way Karen can be learned out from the other ovos. Go ahead, Kishadisa, when you throw.
Kishadisa Bor Penayu.
When you throw boar in one of the other ones, you can Asikulo, you can learn all the ovos Nazik and boar in one of the others, except Labarmi what?
Karen.
Except for Karen, the Ikla Mifrach.
The Ikla Mifrach, Shekane Muadin Mitzdilasa.
Parish.
Parish
Darkon.
Darkon Lahazik.
All the other Avos are Darkon Lahazik. Mashenkane.
Mashenkane, but Karen, Bethesda Shimor Kain.
If you hold Chatzin Nezik as Knas, oxen are tame. So how on earth could you entertain a Havamina that Muad Bibichayim Nezik Shalem? When it's mechuber from the very first time, when you're taking a perspective of Chatzin Nezik as a knas. Chatzin Nezik a knas is that shore are tame. If shore are tame, then why would the owner think whatever damage? So how could the Gemara entertain a Havamina that you're a Chayev Nezik Sholim? That's Tosis Kasha. That's Tosis Kasha. The Gemara here did not say which man Omer it's going according to. Did it say Chatzin Nezik? Mamun Chatzin Nezik knas. Well, Tosis says, I'll tell you one thing. If it's according to the Manu Chatzin Nezik Knas, it makes no sense. Because Chatzin Nezik Knas means Yoshua, that all oxen are tame. If all oxen are tame, why would you be Chayav Nezik Sholim from the very first time? Why? There's no way that the owner should know it's going to damage. He says, Chatzin Nezik Mamun is good because oxen are nuts. He should have been on his toes, and therefore it's Chayav Nezik Sholim for the very first time. Yonatan, you follow me? The Havamina this Gemara only works well according to who? Chatzin Nezik Mamon, that the oxen are nuts. But if oxen are tame, Chatzin Nezik Knas, how would you entertain a Havamina Chayav Nezik Sholim for the first time? And did our Gemara make a comment that it's going according to either one? Jacob, did it? No. So the implication is that it could go like both. So Tosfos says, if it goes like both, how could it fit according to the Ma'amar Chatzin Nezik Knas? That is Tosfos Kasha. So I want to answer Tosfos Kasha. We're not going to get to the answer of Tosfos inside today. We'll start with it tomorrow. But I want to give you the Brisker Rav's answer. What's the Brisker Rav's answer?
The Brisker Rav
The Brisker Rav's principle. The Brisker Rav's principle. Which was what? That the stuff that fell off the roof was plugged into what? Was it plugged in the bore more than Aish? Yes? So he says like this. I want you to get this. He says a beautiful answer. He says, Tosfos says, how would you know your Chayv Nezek Shalem? What's the answer? The answer is the difference between Tam and Mu'ad, where do we find it? Only by what? Only by what? Tolush. Not by Mechubar. What would you do by Mechubar? Tam and Mu'ad is only exerts a cost of where? It's a formal category only found by what? Tlusha. But by Mechubaris, there is no exerts a cost of. So you fall back to the Tzara Shava. What's the Tzara Shava? That all other Nizikin, is there a difference in Tam and Mu'ad? No. If there's no difference in Tam and Mu'ad, what are you chayiv? You chayiv Nezek Shalem. According to everyone. Not just the Mandam or Chatzin Nezek Mamun, but even according to the Mandam or Chatzin Nezek what? Chatzin Nezek Nas. So on the Rashba's Kasha, we have three Terutzim. And on Tosfos' Kasha, we have how many Terutzim? One so far, the Brisker Rav's answer himself. We didn't get to Tosfos' answer himself. We'll get to that tomorrow. But the Brisker Rav formalizes every Avos Nezikin. You must plug into a category. And the only time you find Tam and Mu'ad is where? Dani, by what? Tolish. By Mechubar, you don't. So what's going to be the Din Mechubar? You throw it back to the Mematzinu, which is by all other Avos Nezikin, there is no difference between Tam and Mu'ad. And don't ask me if Chatzin Nezik Zuros, which is regal, that's Allah Moshe Mishinai. That's a special exception. That's a regal, that's Chatzin Nezik, that's a special exception. Allah Moshe Mishinai. You got what I'm saying? That answers the Tosfos Kasha. That even according to the Manor Chatzin Nezek Knas, still, the only distinction between Tam and Mu'ad we find is by what Tolish? By Mechubar, you fall back to the general categories. And the general categories of Nezikin never have a distinction, Tam and Mu'ad. And therefore, Yechad Nezek Shalom from the very first time. And that also answers up Rashba's Kasha as well. Excellent, Matthew. Very excellent. That's a fourth answer to the Rashba's Kasha. The Rashba said, how could you entertain a Havamina that by Mechubri Chayv Nezek Shalom, Shibi Chayv Chatzin Nezek all the times? Why? There's no concept of Chatzin Nezek by Yod Novus Nezikin. It's a Mematzinu. Rabbeinu Tam said Mematzinu is a tool. That was Rabbeinu Tam's answer. Rashba's answer that it's an Isser. Rashba's answer is what? That it's a Kavah Chaymer. Fourth answer is the Brisker Rav. That answers Tosfos Kasha and also the Rashba's Kasha. You got this? Okay, we got this, Chlor. Yoshua, you got it? You work on it, you ask me, okay? You can call me on the phone or tomorrow. We have a long Seder, okay? Now, I want to close with something from Rosh Hashanah. We've got a lot of start speaking about. Vinny asked me after Shir. I want to start now talking about it because the guys that are going away also. You got to please listen on the computer. I don't want you to fall behind. Let's close with the following. Rosh Hashanah, I want to ask you guys, why is it before Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur should have been before Rosh Hashanah. Finish the year on atonement, and then start the year new. Why is there Rosh Hashanah then Yom Kippur? That's the kasha I'm asking. Makes much more sense to finish with Yom Kippur. Finish the year with Yom Kippur and start with Rosh Hashanah. Start the year new. The answer is as follows. And this is very powerful, guys. I want you to get this. The day of Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, are devoted to the following. To coronating Hashem as the king. To be mamlech Hashem as the king. Normally throughout the year we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is what? Kabbalas Ol Malchut Shamayim, accepting a pre-existing kingdom of Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah you have 10 psukim from Malchus. If you only say the pasuk of Shema, it's not enough, says Rav Futner Zatzal. Because you know what you got to do on Rosh Hashanah? You must coronate him. You must make him the king. It's not enough to accept a king that already existed. You have to coronate him and proclaim him as a king. That is the essence of Rosh Hashanah. If you're davening in the middle, you don't know what's flying into Siddur or Matzor, you should look it over before davening, of course. But if you don't know, you should think to yourself, I'm making you the king. That is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's not about you. It's not about your Averis. You never clap Al Chet once. You never say Hashem no Rosh Hashanah. It's not about you. It's about the Abishter. That you are declaring him as the king. And that is absolutely critical. Because you cannot embark upon a path of tshuva for 10 days of tshuva unless you internalize that he is the king. You need 2 of the 10 days to internalize. He is the king. I am making the king. Otherwise, the tshuva the rest of the days are a joke. And I don't mean it. And I don't mean it as a joke. I mean it seriously. You devote 2 days, I make Hashem the king. He's the king. He's the king. Then you can embark the rest of the 8 days. I'm repenting for what I did wrong. The Vilna Gaon points out, you shouldn't mention chet at all. You know, he skips avinu malkeinu chatanu lefanecha. That first line, don't mention chet on Rosh Hashanah. You know, the Ramah says you don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Why not? Because it causes a lot of spit. Might disturb your diet. And also the gematria is chet. You don't mention chet. Why do you say tashlich on Rosh Hashanah? Because the Gemara says in Hurrius, they used to anoint kings. They poured oil over his head by rivers as a bracha, that his kingdom should spread like rivers. On Rosh Hashanah, we say Hashem's kingdom is the whole world. Let it spread like rivers. That's why you say tashlich. Even though you do say tashlich, which was kochato song, but it's in the background of making Hashem the king. That is why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. And that is the essence of the day of Rosh Hashanah. One of the major, major imports of Rosh Hashanah is this concept. You don't focus on yourself. You focus on Hashem being the king. That's why you must start the year like that. You cannot have a Aser Shemei Tshuva without the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And that is why on Rosh Hashanah, it's interesting that there is a concept, and I want you to get this, we'll close with this, the matbeah, you know what matbeah means? The coinage of the Kedusha Rosh Hashanah is Kibbulus Chasadim. Because Nehemiah, when he gave a drush in Pirachas, he said, Shalchu Manos Lein Nachalo. You know, Shalchu Manos people always associate with what? With Purim, but it's also about Rosh Hashanah. They used to send gifts to people who needed the gifts, who were the needy and the poor on Rosh Hashanah. Because what does it say? And we'll continue more in the next few days. What does it say? Vahi Bishur Melech Yisasef Roshiyam Yachad Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. Everyone knows that song. Yachad, Yachad. But why is it Yachad? You want to declare me as the king. It's got to be what? It's got to be together. That's why the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says the minute Yafa is to what? Ask Mechila from your friends when? Before Rosh Hashanah. In Shulchan Aruch it says before what? Yom Kippur. But the minute Yafa is before Rosh Hashanah, because if you truly want to proclaim Hashem as the Melech, you must do it together. So I want you to think about this, guys. That's what the major essence of Rosh Hashanah is. People can go through a whole Rosh Hashanah and know what it's all about. That's what it is. It makes a lot of sense now, no? Why Rosh Hashanah is before what? Before Yom Kippur. And then we could ultimately get to Kippur. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone, a wonderful day. Taz are over. We'll continue tomorrow. Okay, this is Shem. Tomorrow we got a longer Seder, a whole Seder. Whole Seder's with the Chazer up. Chazer, okay? Everyone have a good day. Evan, you got it? Okay, you got a Chazer up, okay? Okay, good. Oh, you asked me, okay? Benny, you had a Kasha, yeah. Good. All right, Matthew, have a good day, okay?